Thank you, choir. As our children go to children's church, I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, reading verses 5 through 9. Hebrews 2, 5 through 9. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified elsewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." The newspapers are so full of so much that seems to be going wrong in the world. The television screen, the radio, when you watch the news shows, when you listen to the radio, when you read the newspaper, you hear about all kinds of violence. Violence in Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, Israel, even in the United States. There are civil wars and starvation in Africa. Even the animals are suffering from drought. We read and hear of genocide, tsunamis, earthquakes, severe droughts. We hear of murders and patricide and matricide and unclecide and people preying on children and so much more that is happening and going wrong in the world. In fact, we hear so much of that stuff that sometimes we almost become immune when we see it on the news or we catch a voice on the radio. In fact, there is so much that seems to be going on that is not good in the world and that we hear about, it might make us wonder, did God make a mess with us? Did God make a mess? Of course, we know if you go back to Genesis chapter 6, at one point, God looks around and says, "All their thoughts are evil continually. I am sorry I ever put them on the face of the earth." Did God make a mess? And I think many people are starting to ask that question as they look around and see all of these different things going on. Yet there are other questions that arise from this passage that I think may help us to deal with that question: suffering, death, and mess. Among these questions, I think, that are key for us to answer the question, did God make a mess with us, is, what are we meant to be? A second question, what are we? And a third, how can we become what we are meant to be? And you know, that was really the role of the Old Testament prophet and the New Testament prophet, and is really the role of prophets today. It's not to tell the future and what it's going to be like, when the world's going to end, or even how, although it probably would not surprise anyone with all the stuff we hear in the news today and with the capabilities we have to do in folks several times over all around the world it would not surprise anyone if the world were to end. Yet I think that God has much more in store for us and has much more for us to do than for us to end the world. So, first question, what are we meant to be? According to the psalmist in Psalm 8, there is a very high opinion of what human beings are meant to be. In fact, that psalm is mentioned here in the passage that we read in Hebrews chapter 2. Our translations generally read, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you do care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the angels." By the way, in Psalm 8, son of man is not referring to son of man as in Messiah. It's a reference to people. But when we look closer, we find that the word that usually we translate angels, "you have made him a little lower than the angels," in the Hebrew text is actually Elohim, which is God. The psalmist recognizes how great a creation God has made in human beings and what we are meant to be, as opposed to what sometimes we become. The psalmist, if we translate that passage, says, "You have made him a little lower than God." Not just the angels. We have been made a little lower than God to have that relationship, that special relationship that even the angels cannot have with God. That is what we are meant to be. A little lower than God so that we can have that relationship. In fact, in Genesis 1, 27 and 28, we find humanity at its best because God says, let us make humankind in our image. We are made imago Dei, in the image of God. But unfortunately, what we are meant to be is not what we often become. Because like those folks who built the Tower of Babel, and like so many others since, we try to be God instead of being like God. Our first human ancestors, the first man and the woman that are talked about in Genesis chapters 2 and following, wanted to have the blessings of God and to be just like God, and really to take some of that power, and they fail in their disobedience. The builders, as I mentioned, of the Tower of Babel wanted others to think of them as gods as they built this tower with its top in the heavens, not to honor God, but rather to make a name for themselves. But we were not meant to be gods. That's G-O-D-S. Rather, we are meant to be G-O-D apostrophe S. We are meant to belong to God. To be in God's image in every way that we live our lives. The ideal for us as human beings, as children of God, is kinship with God and mastery of the universe, not on our own, but in relationship with God. That is what we are meant to be. That is what the psalmist understood. That is what the writer of Hebrews understood. Which then brings us to the next question. If we are meant to be that, what are we? And once again, the prophets were charged with telling people, this is what God wants you to do, this is where you really are, and this is how you get back to where you are supposed to be. And so the writer of Hebrews gives us that idea, that while we are meant to be just a little lower than God, we sin, we bring suffering, and sometimes death. We are in the image of God. We were made right. That is correct. But we went wrong. We were made right and given that opportunity to be right, but we went wrong. Isaiah and Paul both indicate this. All we like sheep have gone astray, the writer of Isaiah says. We have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And Paul writes, since we all have sinned, we fall short of the glory of God. In fact, later on in Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about how he knows what is right to do and he wants to do what is right, but so often he does exactly the opposite. And he falls short. We were meant to have mastery and glory in relationship with God. But our actual state, excuse me, maybe I'm not speaking of you, so I'll speak. My actual state far too often is one of frustration and failure. And if you resemble that, then I welcome you. And I feel with you. Because far too often it is frustration and failure to be what I am meant to be. We also find that the writer here speaks of Christ and of Christ's subjection and suffering. But not because Christ was deserving of it, but rather because Christ came to take us to be what we are meant to be, to take us from who we truly are many times in our lives to where we are supposed to be. His suffering is part of God's plan of redemption for you and for me. Though Christ is superior to the angels, and Christ is not only equal to, but part of the Godhead, He became lower than the angels and lower than God to subject Himself to suffering and death for you, for me, for the good of the whole world. There is no sin in Him. And yet He takes upon Himself our sins, our frustrations and our failures to be what God meant for us to be, to fulfill the purpose for all humanity in His sinless and sacrificial life. And His life is contrasted with the rest of humanity and our lives of sin and disobedience. That is something that we especially concentrate on at this time of the year as we are in the Lenten season. And a lot of times we forget about it at other times of the year. It is my hope that it will not just be something we do during this time of the year leading to Easter, but that we will continually remember what we are meant to be, but also what we oftentimes are, so that we might become more of what we are meant to be. And how do we do this? How do we become what we are meant to be? Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, verses 22b and following. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that He Himself is righteous, and that He justifies anyone who has faith in Jesus. Paul also says in Philippians 1, "For me to live is Christ." That is how we become what we are meant to be. God made us and gave us the ability to choose to follow or not. More times than not, we blow it because we attempt to do everything on our own. Yet Jesus is crowned with glory and honor as everything is subjected to Him, even us, when we are in proper relationship especially. He is exalted not because of glory. He is exalted because of humiliation, suffering, and death. That brings the exaltation. Dr. Edgar McKnight, professor emeritus at Furman University, in writing in a commentary on Hebrews, writes, "Christ is God's definitive word, crowned with glory and honor, because of His salvific death, so that He might taste death for everyone." Christ is God's definitive word because of His salvific death, because He died for you and me. This is the heart of the understanding of Christ in Hebrews. Throughout, we find this high priest has attained that by suffering. And by suffering, He stood in the condition of those whom He came to save. He stood in our place. And He stood in our condition. He came and lived life as a human being and faced the same temptations and the same potential difficulties that you and I face. And He did that, taking it upon Himself, not having it forced upon Him, thereby giving hope for we who will follow Him and become His. So with Christ, we can make it. When we choose to give control, not to ourselves, but in relationship with Him. Logically, it would follow then that those who follow Jesus in self-denial and service to God will also experience the same glory that Jesus experiences. This means being in the right place for fellowship. Fellowship with Jesus and fellowship with each other. In places like this, at times like this, in places out in the community, at other times as well. In good times, in bad times, and even in the ordinary, everyday times. The glory that we have is not just for the future, though. It's not just for the future. It is a present reality as we follow the path that our pioneer, Jesus the Christ, has blazed for us. And in this, we are being made perfect. We are becoming what we are meant to be. By that, I do not mean morally perfect. But the word perfection carries with it the idea of completeness and wholeness and perfect for the job we are given. My systematic theology professor, Dr. James Tull, once said, "If you're in the wrong place, the right place is vacant and a task goes undone. Jesus was not in need of moral perfection, but was prepared for fulfilling the task to which he was called, redeeming us. Therefore, we who are not morally perfect become what we are meant to be in and through our following Jesus, preparing for the task of living Christian lives, lives that carry us beyond what we often are, to become what God meant for us to be. For you see, as we said a while ago, we are also created a little less than God and are children for God's kingdom. So to go back to the original question, did God make a mess? No. But sometimes His children do. They mess up their room. They don't pick up after themselves. They leave things lying around and hanging around. But God calls us to help clean up the mess that we make, one life at a time, becoming more what we are meant to be, and thereby helping others to also become what they are meant to be. It's a high calling. It's a daunting task, but it is one that God helps us with in Jesus and in each other. May we pray. Oh Lord our God, sometimes we look around and we wonder. We wonder at all the things we see in the world, all the things that seem to be going wrong. So much of the time all we think about are those things that are going wrong, and we forget the good. But Lord, sometimes we forget that we are to be part of the good. Help us to recognize that while we cannot do it on our own, but together with You and with each other, we can become more of what we are meant to be through Jesus the Christ and through our relationship in Him. Thank You for that good news. Help us to share it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 113. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Because I had become a mess, Jesus chose to come and live and die so that I could become clean. And once again, recognize and fulfill the potential of being just a little less than God, because I am God's. Our invitation is simple. If you have never made a profession of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you feel led to do so, we welcome you. If you're searching for a church home and you feel that God is leading you to join with us here, we would welcome you. If you feel called to recommit yourself to becoming more and more of what you are meant to be, our altar is open. Hymn number 113. And we'll sing all five verses. Alas, and did my Savior bleed?